Hello, everybody. It's Dane Gentry with the Standing Back Up podcast. I'm here today with my special guest, Miss Dee Hurley. She is a survivor of narcissistic abuse, and I'm interested in this energy thing you got for PTSD. That's what caught my attention. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on here.
Yes, ma'am. Anytime. Was it a marriage? Is that the narcissistic abuse? Is that where it came from?
Yeah.
Were you aware, or did it just kind of come out of nowhere when it started?
Well, it was 11 and a half years of it. I just didn't know what I was dealing with until I read a book by Tina Swithin. And I kept thinking, she knows my husband. Like, what's going on here?
Right.
Like all the same things that were happening in my home. And that's what kind of opened my eyes to it. I started doing a little more research and I was like, dang.
Yeah.
It's common.
Yeah, I had a lady on yesterday. We did one, and she dealt with it as a child from a stepfather, then married into it, and it was 25 years of it. She called it morbid, I think, narcissistic, where it's more, I guess, violent and them kind of things. I don't know if that's what you went through. So in the PTSD, I know a lot of people have PTSD for so many different things. And what is it with the energy that you have?
Well, I do energy healing work with like muscle testing on people to find out what trapped emotions in the body need to be released. And I've been doing that for like 5 years. That's kind of what first put me on the road to learning about holistic modalities and healing that in myself. And then I found a device that one of my friends was talking about, a frequency scanner. It's a biofeedback frequency scanner. Well, now it's just an app, and you can just download the app on your phone and you can create a profile in there and then scan yourself, and it'll give you a full report on what frequencies are how they're behaving in your body, what's out of alignment. Right. And like the inner voice scan on there in particular is the one they've been using a lot for PTSD, and they're researching it for the military, the police, firefighters, people like that who have a lot of issues they're dealing with on day to day. And they're finding that it helps so much just listening to the inner voice part of it. So right. You speak in it, you speak to it, and it's like a lie detector, and it'll pick up the most overused and most underused emotions and give you a full report. And then that's kind of how it works.
Wow. Okay. So it's pretty simple then.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of something you had to hook up to your brain or something like that.
Yeah. It was like that in the beginning. It was a really large device that was in, you had to go to the facility to use it. And now the person who developed this is like, he's just the last few years just keeps making it simpler and simpler. So everybody can have it in the palm of their hands. You know, it's pretty much what he says. It's like a healing device in the palm of your hands.
Right. And that's what so many of us need, because, you know, not that we're lazy, but we don't want to get out. But if we can make it easier, we're definitely going to use it. Do you write any books? Have you wrote any books? I was going to ask you that. I didn't see anything about that.
Yeah, I am. I'm writing a book about what I went through with my marriage, and then how I discovered like how I got there, and what, you know, my childhood traumas that kind of led me into that situation, and then what I used to get out of it and raise my vibration. And then I met the love of my life. He's amazing, high frequency, on the same level. And that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have stopped and done the healing work, you know, on myself, and started attracting something better and started loving myself more and all those good things. I'm putting it all in there.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad, you know, because I meet a lot of people who get trapped in things, we'll say, and they stay there for a long, long time, and they don't get out because they think they can't, because that's what someone's always told them or whatever. So we need more people like you out there and blasting the voice out for people.
Yeah, it's hard when you get in that comfort zone. It's all you know. And I meet people like that all the time. And I feel so sad for them. Like, and some people, you know, are just not ready to get out. They're just comfortable in that place. And you just kind of have to meet them where they are and help lift them up and support them.
That's right. It's the same with anything, whether it's addiction or whatever it is. It's kind of the same thing. You just get in a cycle, and it becomes the norm, I'll say. Even though you know it's not, I mean, you know, it's not deep down inside of you, but, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's the physical aspect that drives you or whatever it is. But I think, in my opinion, with a lot of women, when they get in a lot of things, it's because one, it's the man they love. It may be financial reasons. Maybe they're stuck. And, you know, they didn't go to school because they relied on him or whatever, you know, whatever went on. And it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. You're raised in that society. I mean, it's changing now, but that's kind of how it was. You depended on the man for the financial part of the marriage. And then you kind of feel stuck if you're in a situation where there's violence or abuse, because you feel like you can't take care of yourself. And now it's shifting a little bit. You know, a lot more people are having these talks with their young girls. Yeah. You know, and like I do with my daughters, I tell them, you know, you can do it. You put your mind to it. You can do anything, you know, just, you need to be financially secure. And I really emphasize that. Make sure you can take care of yourself before you get into a marriage, because I don't want to ever have them feel stuck in something.
No. And that's the way it is. Even for men, I mean, it happens with men too, but it's more predominant with women. But the same thing with her yesterday. She said that she was mainly the breadwinner. And so, she was stuck just because she thought that he loved her, you know, that kind of thing. And she wanted to be loved because she never got it from her mother. She never got it from her father or her stepfather. And 25 years of it came to the point for her that she lost down to 90 pounds and was going to the doctor, and they couldn't tell her what was wrong because she wasn't opening up and telling them what was going on at home. It was just like a threat. She said he slept with a knife and she didn't know whether or not he was going to use it. And then the doctor said, hey, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. And whatever it is, if you don't do something about it, you're going to die. It's shutting everything down. And she took it and she ran with it. And here she is 3 years later. Same thing. She met the love of her life as well. She got out of that and she's doing great. And she's got a couple books out and all that kind of stuff. Do you go out and speak and things like that for this?
Right now, I've kind of kept it with over Zoom. I did this summer, I actually went to a retreat with our company with a frequency scanner. Yeah. And I got up in front of a room and kind of told my story about why I'm doing this. And this is my passion now, to bring this to everybody. Because once you start raising your frequency and start healing, you see those things a lot clearer, and you can avoid a lot of those pitfalls.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think everyone should have it. How do we get it?
There, if you go to my website at lighthouseenergyhealing.com, I have some information in there about the frequency device. There's some little videos, and they can just click on it and just go right to the website and download the app. It's a monthly subscription, and you can cancel it at any time. There's a money-back guarantee, so if you're not happy with it, but it's fun. There's a little bit of a learning curve when you first start using it. It's kind of like, you know, using a new app. You've got to learn to kind of play with it, but you won't hurt anything. And there's a team of people you can get involved with, like on Facebook and social media, other places like Instagram. And we all kind of help support each other. And
that's awesome. That's what we need too. We need to support each other. We don't get that a lot in our world today, as we know.
I know.
It's a sad place. You know, I'm not that old, but I remember when things were a lot different. You know, I'm pushing 50, but I remember when families were family and all these type of things. But also I see where you, about court, about the corruption in family court. You got my attention there too. So, I see it goes on in family court as well, huh?
Oh, it's terrible. It is terrible. And that's something else that happened when I was trying to get out of the marriage. I was shocked at what I went through with the family court system, how they don't care. And it was first my attorney who said, you know, don't mention the abuse. Don't mention the abuse or you'll lose custody of your kids. And I thought, that doesn't make sense.
That makes no sense.
And he was a former cop too. He noticed, he's the one who told me I had PTSD, because every time I talked about a certain incident where I was hurt, my left shoulder would just shake the whole time I talked about it. And he's like, you know, you have PTSD. And I was like,
wow,
really? And he said, yeah, every time you talk about that, your shoulder's shaking. And he's like, you have nightmares? And I said, constantly. Like, I had dreams he came in the house and killed me even after I left. And he's like, yeah, that's PTSD. But yeah, I met a whole group of women. It's mostly women. There are some men in there that are supporting each other, trying to change things with the family court system, because it's just so correct.
Yeah.
And it's all about money. It's not about the safety of the kids. How much money can they get? I mean, I had years of money in our home. We didn't have anything left at the end of the 6 years. It was drawn out. They just draw it out as long as they can get you to come back to court. They keep everything going. So you just keep coming back, keep coming back. All the retirement's gone. All the money that was in the home completely depleted in 6 years. I mean, I spent over $100,000.
That's insane.
So I can't imagine what he spent, because he went through three attorneys.
Wow.
And if you're dealing with the narcissist, they always have to like win everything. So it was like this constant, I got to have, he tried to take the kids from me, and it was ridiculous.
You know, I had a female tell me about this incident where her husband had hit her, and the cops that came there basically said it was her fault. And that's what made me think about that. And you said that guy was ex-cop, you know. Yep. I don't understand. To me, in my opinion, it seems to me like we'd want to blast the abuse out there. Yep. I don't get not telling it, but as you said, you know, the criminal court, it's different, but it's the same thing. Now, don't get me wrong. The criminal court, you deserve to be there. You broke the law, but it's still in, like, if you got a lot of money, you can commit murder and you might get 10 years versus mm-hmm. someone who commits the same murder who's not financially strapped, and they'll get a life sentence.
Yeah,
that's the kind of things that, you know, for me, if you've seen on my bio, you know, I did 21 years. I should have never done 21 years in prison. Now, I should have went to prison. Don't get me wrong. I broke the law. I did property crimes, though. I never harmed anyone, never did anything like that, the typical drug addict crime. And then I would see people who would either harm children or commit murders come in there and do 5 years. And I was just like,
yep.
It makes no sense, man. But I knew it was money. You know, I grew up in a town where, I don't know if you're familiar with Nashville or not, but there's a town, Franklin, right below it, and it's very, very wealthy. And I grew up there. I wasn't wealthy. My mother was an alcoholic and drug addict. And so we were on the low end there. And so I didn't have a chance, you know. But again, I broke the law. I deserved to go. But 21 years? But, you know, at the end of the day, I used to, oh, man, this, that, and the other. But that's where I finally started healing, when I was like, hey, it is what it is, man. You did it. When you put yourself in that position, the consequences are what they are. You know, you can't decide what someone else decides is your punishment. The part of it I don't like is that I'm still punished for it every day. You know, the voting, not being able to buy a gun, just whatever, all these different things. And they say, well, you can go and have your record expunged. I'd have to be a millionaire to do that. You know, that's another thing with the courts. And so it's the same with family court, but you wouldn't think you would see it as much in family court. So
once you get in the system and you give that power over to them, they have control.
Yep, complete control.
And we do it as citizens. We give that power to them by even going into the court system. Yeah. And I've been learning about that too, and it's kind of another rabbit hole.
Yeah. Do you have a group of people that's trying to fight it now, or?
Yeah, we're trying to get laws changed. I'm a part of actually three different domestic violence advocacy groups, and we're trying to get some laws changed, like Caden's Law, and there's another one I can't think all of a sudden. But yeah, we're trying to get the laws changed so that whenever there is any kind of abuse mentioned, that they do have to have some representatives there in the court that are they're trained, mm-hmm. so they can recognize like narcissistic abuse and stuff like that. And that'll be brought up, because the way it is now, if you say that there's any abuse, I mean, you can have records, you can have doctor's reports of maybe sexual abuse on children. You bring it to court, and if the other parent says, you're just bringing this up to prevent me time with the child, then that right there alone will get them custody, because they'll say that you're just trying to alienate me from the children.
Wow.
And that's all they have to say. And that word alienating has so much power in family court. Usually they immediately get custody. If you just say they're alienating me, because they want to say, well, we want you to make sure that each parent gets quality time. So it's just ridiculous. But yeah, we're trying to get laws changed so that they can't do that anymore. They can't just say it's alienating. They really have to look into the matter, instead of just, there's too many children that are, their lives are being taken.
Yes, I agree. I saw it a lot growing up. And I saw a lot of kids that needed to be taken out of the homes they was in too. Don't get me wrong. But I saw, you know, a lot where they should have been with the dad, or vice versa, the mother, in different cases. And it just wasn't that way. And then my wife, when she got her divorce, her two boys, she got complete 100% custody of everything. He cheated or whatever. But she still allowed him in her life, in their lives. And that's something else we see too. We see the parents where they want to use the child as the, you know,
as a weapon.
And that's insane to me. I don't get that either.
And your story earlier about the arrest thing, I called 911 during the marriage, and that's where I got the PTSD from. They came and arrested me.
Wow.
The cops arrested me when they showed up, because I was too scared to talk, and I was sitting there shaking, and I had, you know, pushed him off of me and gotten away. So they said, since I told them that I touched him, you know, that's the law in the state of California. The police were like, well, you admitted to touching him, so we have to arrest you. I, you know, stay at home mom, three kids, never had anything like this. I'm at school every day volunteering with my children. I was always working with children. And I never had an experience like that.
That's where unreal.
You call the police to protect you, and instead you're the one that is, I'm handcuffed in front of my whole neighborhood, nice neighborhood, walked out to the car in my pajamas with my kids crying, and had to stay in that jail cell for 8 hours. And then my ex, you know, called me on the phone. Well, have you learned your lesson yet?
Wow.
And let me sit there for 8 hours before he came to bail me out. And that scared me to death. I thought, there's no one here to protect us.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. What a good guy he is, huh? So
yeah,
I want,
everybody thinks just, he's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I bet he thinks he's amazing too. And I'm sure he's probably not gotten any help for his issues either. Still to this day, probably, because he doesn't think he needs them.
It's just being it's being condoned. He's being rewarded for it. Everything he's done is being rewarded. And when you have the money, you can play the fun games in court.
But someday, you know, the way I see that thing is one day the rogue's going to get snatched out from under his feet, though. It's just how the world works, man. You know, we may not ever see it, but what's to come, who knows, you know, in them times. Because I've saw a lot of people get away with a lot of things, man. And I've always thought, you know, how you do it. You know, I never was that way. You know, I would get in trouble, and I've been to prison 4 times. I'll say that. But it was on the same sentence. I kept violating parole because I was a drug addict. You know, I wouldn't quit doing drugs. But then I would see people come in there and do, man, 10 times the crimes I've done, and they would go to jail and they would get out. And I was just like, man, I don't get it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be honest, though. You know, yes, I wish my life would have took a different path. But now to who it's molded me into today, I'm cool with it. You know, it's OK.
I feel the same. Yeah. You know, I know that I went through this journey and it was really rough. And there were days I really honestly didn't even want to be on the earth. Mm. And I thought about it a lot. And I look back on it and I think there's some things that I can do to help others. And I know that I'm responsible for so much of it because I was raised where women didn't really speak up a lot. You wanted to please. I was a people pleaser, you know, I was raised in a Christian church and, you know, say the right thing. And you look with rose colored glasses. You want to believe everybody is who they say they are, but you have to learn to listen to your inner voice and speak up for yourself and really listen to that. I can't strive that enough because that could have saved me so many times. I look back and remember particular times where I should have listened and I just thought, no, surely they don't mean that. And I just overrid it. But you have to listen to that inner voice.
Yeah. God gives it to us for a reason.
You
know, I'm not a religious guy, but I'm a spiritual guy. I don't really do the whatever religion, but
I am now too.
Yeah, I kind of figured the way you said that about the Christian church, I kind of figured, but you know, I've always had that inner voice, and I would usually listen to it when I was sober. We'll say that.
Yeah.
When I was getting high, I didn't listen to anything, but I have a real good intuition about things and about people. And just the other day, it was something I'm always just like, wow, God, I see, you know, which has kind of led me into what I'm doing now because I want to help people, man. But I want to help people that want to be helped. I don't have time for the bull crap.
Right.
I was the king of bull crap. You know what I mean? And so I know all about it. And so you can't get anything on me. So we do these sober living homes and stuff. And it's tough. It's a tough business, man. You know, because you want everybody to be okay and do well, but they're just not going to. You know, people say they haven't hit their bottom yet. I don't really buy that. I hit my bottom a bunch of times. You know, how could I not? You know, I think you just finally get to the point of just like anything else that you're going to, man, that's it. I'm not doing it no more. You know, I want more. I want to be able to take a bath. I want to be able to eat. I don't want to live in a tent. I mean, I was homeless, not for a long period of time, but had it not been for my wife, I probably would have been a lot longer. She was the angel of my life. She's the one that she saw something in me and said, this is not who you are. This is who you led to believe. And so, so that's why we are today.
Beautiful.
it's an amazing thing. And you know, more men need to find that person, and women need to find theirs as well. When you find that person, though, you should work as hard as you can to make things okay. You know,
you appreciate it a lot more when you've been through some bad stuff too.
Yes, you do. You do. And
I'm telling you, even the little things, it's like
they mean a lot. You know, I never had to deal with abuse, and my heart goes out to you for that. That's something that I saw my mother go through it a lot. I saw her beat on several occasions when I was a little bitty kid, and I always knew I was never going to be that guy. And so, you know, we all got to stand together. You know, yeah. It's, we look around, just as you said a while ago, and we see people in their homes and we think, oh man, you know, they got the good job. They got the nice home. Everything's fine. And it's not, you know, that's something I found out in this journey as well. It's a lot of times it's hid behind them doors, and
right.
Because they don't want society to know. Oh no, I can't let this person know. And that's what I do these podcasts for, especially now I'm having a lot of women on because I want a voice for women. I want women to understand, hey, you got to speak out. You can't keep putting up with this because you're going to die. That's what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, it's interesting enough. It was a doctor who mentioned to me just kind of the same as the story you were telling. She's like, you keep coming in here with all these symptoms. She's like, what's going on at home?
Yeah.
They kind of know when you have your body starts falling apart and you're young and there's no really reason. A lot of times that's related to stress, chronic stress and anxiety. And it's like, who are you around? What's going on in your home? And she started leaving little messages for me, you know, if you want someone to talk to.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was the same thing for her. She said she went to like 10 different doctors. And most of them were just like your normal doctor in and out. And she said that she still goes and sees this guy and hugs him and tells him that she loves him.
Aww.
And I thought that was really sweet. For whatever reason, I can't remember her name. I want to tell you her name and I can't remember it. She wrote a book. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I don't have it here with me. I do so many of these shows. Oh, Diane Diaz. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look her up. She wrote one book about it. She kept journals under her bed. And she said the reason that she kept them was in case he killed her.
I did too.
I did the same thing.
Recording clips too, just in case, so somebody would find him.
Yeah, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's awful to have to live that way. You know, I put my wife through a different type of abuse. What I was doing was abuse too. Don't get me wrong. It was the same thing, but it was taking all of our money, lying, doing all those things, you know, running us in the ground. I started a business. It was successful overnight. I run it in the ground, started again, running in the ground, the same things. It's a different, she has PTSD too. And that's what all this is about too. I'm going to get this product that you have for her. Because different things, you know, I've been sober for a while now, but still she doesn't, you know, people don't forget, you don't forget those things and they just don't go away. You know, I wish that they would. And that's something that some people don't care. A narcissistic person don't care what they're doing to someone else, but I do, you know, and those things bother me, that the things that I did, but, so I'm hoping this is going to help her too.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
What you're doing. That really is. I have a brother struggling too, a younger brother, and it's really hard to have conversations with him because I know he's not ready yet. He's not ready for that next step. And it's really hard for my mom and I both, we have conversations and it's like, all we can do right now is the tough love and not give too much attention to what he's in right now. But I'm waiting for the day that he says, sis, I'm ready. You know,
is he on opiates?
I'm not sure, but I know last time I saw him, it was really hard to have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
And my heart just went out to him. I cried for like the whole day after he left. And I told my husband, like, one of these days he's going to come and I feel like I'm ready. I have the tools, but he's not ready for it yet. And he doesn't.
How old is he?
He's 2 years younger than me, 47.
Okay, I wasn't going to ask you your age, but okay.
Yeah, so I had to think.
You know, I think I've always said that I think it's harder for younger people and women to get sober. And I think I'm right on that. You know, same thing for me. I got older. And so he's at that age, you know, especially if he's doing fentanyl. Let's pray to God that he's not, because people are dying every 5 minutes from overdose from that. So let's pray to God he's not on that. But it doesn't matter what drug it is. Drug is a drug. But that one's just killing everybody so fast. And that was my thing. I snorted some. I was in my truck. I snorted just a little bit of it. I walked in a store and it's the last thing I remember. Next thing I know, I come to, I'm in my truck and they're bringing me back to life. And so it's a very serious thing. And so
did you have an NDE?
NDE?
A near-death experience?
No, I didn't. But I had one before that. That was my second OD. I had one before. I'd done some drugs and at 7 o'clock and the police wake me up at midnight. So I'd been out for 5 hours sitting in my truck in a parking lot. The only thing I remember is it felt like I was floating up off my seat and I kept saying, turn that light out. That's the only thing. But I think it was definitely a near-death experience for sure. Wow. Because when I came to, it was like, I've never had a lot of fears in my life, let me say it that way, but I suddenly had the fear of not being able to breathe, and I have it now still today. And I think it had something to do with that. Like, it was like I was probably, you know, gasping for air. I was sitting there dying, and the Nashville police saved me twice. They saved me that time. I had to go to jail, but hey, they saved my life. And then the second time as well.
Have a mission. There's a reason you're doing this. Wow. I'm so glad you're doing something good with all of that.
That's what we have to do. Yeah. Whatever experiences that we've had, we have to turn around for good. Yeah. Give me that website one more time.
It's lighthouseenergyhealing.com. Yeah.
All right. We'll make sure everybody has it, and we're going to have it. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So when are you going to write this book? Tell me that real quick.
I've been working on it for 2 years, and I have a problem because I keep going back and wanting to edit it. And my husband's already published a book, and he's like, you're going to just have to let it go. Like, it's not going to ever be perfect. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's my thing. That's why I don't edit these podcasts, because if I did, I would have them all down to 5 minutes. There wouldn't be nothing left. And so I don't do it. When we're done in an hour from now, it'll be out everywhere. I want to thank you for your time. Have we covered everything for you?
Yes. Thank you so much. It was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you as well. And anytime you have anything coming out, just shoot me an email and we'll get you back on and all that good stuff.
All right.
Thank you so much and good luck. Thanks. See you.
You too.
Bye-bye.